The U.S. is committed to decarbonizing its electrical power sector and reducing its carbon emissions to reach net zero by the year 2050. That's no small task for the world's second largest emitter of greenhouse gases. I'm Mike Green, and this is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. Oregon is now part of a coalition of regions selected for a Phase 1 development process to help America grow its green energy sector with a cutting-edge green hydrogen ecosystem. Joining me to shed more light on the subject is Chris Green, president of the Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Alliance. Welcome to the JX, Chris.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me, and thanks for taking an interest in our work.
Absolutely. Let's start with the basics. What is green hydrogen, and why does it matter?
Sure. So just to say kind of one table setting comment, hydrogen has been around for a long time. And it's also, as most science fans know, the most abundant element in the universe that we know of. So we know about hydrogen. We've interacted with hydrogen for a long time. But right now, hydrogen typically is produced related to the petroleum and fossil fuel industry. What we are trying to do is create a new hydrogen product that has an incredibly low or zero carbon intensity score, so clean or green hydrogen. And that's what we have proposed to produce in our Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Association proposal to the Department of Energy. That work that we are doing between Washington, Oregon, and Montana is going to produce green electrolytic hydrogen. And all that means is the process by which we create the hydrogen. So in our case, we want to use a machine called an electrolyzer that really just takes water and electricity. Electricity basically zaps the water, separates the hydrogen from the oxygen molecules, and voila, you have a green hydrogen that is produced with clean electricity, and you have a very clean fuel that can be used in a whole host of different end-use cases. And so that's what we are proposing. We're really excited to be able to try to be a part of getting green hydrogen into the energy marketplace.
So you make it sound simple. You take a little bit of electricity, you zap it some water, and now you've got hydrogen.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's some more complexity to these machines that have been developed, these electrolyzer machines that have been developed. But really, you can go buy those machines now if you want to, and if you have a water supply and you have electricity supply and a way to store the hydrogen that you're going to make, you can do that. So the process isn't the most complicated. So we do know how to do that. So it's I'm sure it's more complicated once you get into the inner workings of those machines, but that is indeed how you do it.
What are some of the uses of green hydrogen?
Yeah, so there's a whole host of things that you can use it for, but just from a really big picture perspective, the way I like to think about it is, if you think about all of the places right now where we use either liquid or gas fuels, so big trucks, big buses, big planes, big boats, maybe trains, and industrial processes or backup generators, those kinds of things, anything like that, you could replace a liquid fuel like diesel or a gas fuel like natural gas with hydrogen. So there are those kinds of things. So in practical terms, transit agencies converting from diesel buses to hydrogen fuel cell buses for long routes. We think that's a very good end use. Long-haul trucking. I think those trucks also could use hydrogen fuel cell propulsion to reduce their emissions. And then we think a lot about the marine fuel industry, so the maritime industry. And in those cases, you can use sort of hydrogen adjacent projects or hydrogen derivative fuels like methanol or ammonia to move really big marine vessels like that. But in the near term, we really think those transit and long-haul trucking kinds of vehicles are a really good sort of entry to get the hydrogen market going, while some of those other end uses are going to probably come on a little more gradually over time.
So why haven't we done this before?
Well, you know, we have tried. 20 or 30 years ago or so, there were some attempts to get some more hydrogen production into the market and use hydrogen as an alternative to traditional fossil fuel or, passenger vehicle propulsion. And it's not easy, you know, to try to create a new energy commodity market where you have lots of supply, you have a price that is relatively stable or at least, you know, predictable within some range, and you have all the infrastructure needed to you know, create fueling stations and those kinds of things for this to last. All of that has to happen kind of at the same time for this to work. And it's been difficult. The economics haven't always worked. And by the way, you know, we have access to existing fossil fuel sources now. And, you know, sometimes they're a little more expensive than others relatively, but they usually have been less expensive than some of the clean or green energy options. And so you have these economic factors that you have to overcome. And we think that now we might be able to get the timing right with some government investment, of course, from the United States and the program we're working on, but also lots of other countries around the world are making very large-scale investments to catalyze this market. So you've got maybe an opportunity with government funding to get more supply out there. And you also have several very large multinational corporations spending lots of their money, lots of R&D money, to try to kickstart some of this hydrogen work. And so you've got a confluence of investment coming into the market, and there are increasingly more rules or regulations about making sure that we decrease our carbon emissions in a host of different end uses. And so there's a little bit of carrot, there's a little bit of stick. And so maybe we've got the timing right now for the economics to pencil where we can actually start producing hydrogen in a cost-effective manner where consumers will choose to buy it.
So it sounds like the timing is right. Tell me about the alliance and how it came together.
Sure. So, you know, in Washington State, there was some efforts a couple of years ago to launch some more kind of green energy or clean energy, you know, kind of cluster-related economic development. And one of the things that Washington State did was create this charge hydrogen cluster. And the point was, you know, just taking notice of the activity in the private marketplace, more and more investment going into clean energy and hydrogen. So we thought, hey, let's try to get some more activity around this and try to grow this industry and get some core people together to do that. All of a sudden, with the IRA, or Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, or sorry, the IIJA, or Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, that was passed a few years back, there was this hydrogen hub program. So the Department of Energy had about $8 billion and said, hey, if you all want to apply to be a hydrogen hub, you could earn, you know, about $1 billion. And so folks like myself and a few other colleagues started getting together and looking around the region and thinking, boy, if we got Washington folks and Oregon folks and maybe other folks in the region to all work together, maybe we could put a good proposal together to try to win this money. And that's what we did. So we got tribes, we got labor, we had environmental groups, we had lots of private industry folks, government officials and clean energy disciplines. Got all of those folks together to come up with an application. And our application was successful, fortunately. And we basically pitched to the Department of Energy, hey, if you give us about $1 billion, we've got about 20 companies that have been all assembled that will bring, let's say, $5 or $6 billion to the table. And federal government, if you give us that money, we'll go build out these 20 projects around the region and help kickstart this hydrogen marketplace. And so, fortunately, the Department of Energy looked favorably upon our application, and we were successful. And that was back in October when we learned that. And so now, since then, we've been getting going and trying to get this stuff in order so we can start making this stuff.
I'm talking with Chris Green, president of the Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Alliance. You can join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Chris, what does it mean to receive a Phase 1 development status from the federal government?
Sure, very good point. And we just got to that point a few weeks ago. And what that means is we're now ready to start the first steps in the process for building out these hydrogen production facilities. And in order to do that, and then when you are in receipt of federal funds, there's lots of things we have to do to make sure we're doing it correctly. So first of all, Phase 1, a lot of these projects are going to be still doing design and engineering work on their facilities. So there's a bit of work to do there. Also, and very importantly, we have to do some environmental regulatory work. And so we have to work through the NEPA process with the federal government and get every project approved through the environmental regulatory process. And that takes a little time. And we want to make sure that as we do that, we are engaged in listening and getting comments back from communities that might have an interest or a question or a concern about some facility that's going into a place nearby where they live. So there's a bit of work there. And then I'd say the final thing that we'll really be doing in this phase one portion of this 8-year program is really launching in earnest our community benefits program. So the federal government and many of these grants they have put out through the IRA or IIJA require robust engagement with communities. And I think the general sense is let's try to avoid the sins of the past where throughout the country we've put, you know, big industrial facilities in lower income neighborhoods that you know, didn't really have as much of a voice to argue or ask questions. We want to avoid that. We want to have lots of engagement with communities, open dialogue, transparent discussions, and make sure we're addressing concerns as they come up rather than ignoring them or waiting until it's too late. So we'll be doing a lot of community engagement work as well during phase one.
Okay, and we can expect that over what period of time?
You know, it's not just sort of like one size fits all. And so in general, I would say, you know, maybe 12 to 18 months. That could be a rough time frame for how long it takes for us to get through phase one. Really what will determine that is how quickly we can go through the paces of the things I just described. And we've got more than one project. And so we've got, you know, projects that might be ready to move to phase two earlier if they have gone through all of their checklists and completed all of their work. So it's a little bit of a moving target, but in general, 12 months to 18 months is a pretty good general time frame.
Well, you mentioned that this was about a $1 billion project. What portion of that is slated for phase one?
Oh, sure. So the way it works is the federal government for phase one will release about $27.5 million of that $1 billion. And so as you can see, this is not the large portion of the expenditure that will take place for the construction of these facilities. That will come a little bit in phase two, but largely in phases three and four. So it's just a little bit of money to get started, to start some of this work I was mentioning around community engagement and some of the permitting work for the environmental regulatory process that we need to do. So it's not the most expensive part of this process, but it is no less important than the rest of the phases throughout the Hydrogen Hub program.
It sounds like it. How does the work that you do affect the everyday lives of residents in the states represented by the Alliance?
Sure. So, you know, we've got a little bit of a long road ahead of us to get all this work done. But really, at the end of the day, there's lots of benefits for hydrogen being in this marketplace and hydrogen being an available alternative clean fuel. Certainly, some of the benefits are related to just the pollution, the proximate pollution and that we get if you live near freeways or live near industrial areas. We know that asthma rates are higher. Kids have a tougher time with some of those kinds of health impacts. So we can mitigate some of that. We can reduce a lot of that by switching to hydrogen for some of these transportation vehicles. So that's important. It's also helpful to have these new technologies so we can just significantly reduce CO2 emissions. So we all know that we've got lots of work to do to ensure that we are doing better than we have the last 100 years or so in terms of our fossil fuel and CO2 emissions. So we need to improve drastically. And if we want to achieve the goals that, you know, Washington and Oregon and California have and the United States has around the Paris Accords, if we want to try to meet the moment, then we have to significantly and drastically reduce CO2 emissions in all uses, in all modes. And so hydrogen is a very important part of that. That elixir or that mix of ingredients to try to reduce our CO2 emissions. It's not the only thing. We really are going to rely on batteries quite a bit for lots of vehicles. We'll rely on biofuels, of course, as well. And we need lots of solar and wind and those kinds of assets to come online so we can really clean up our entire energy system. So hydrogen is a part of the overall clean energy transition that we need to go through. But it's a very versatile fuel. It's a great addition to all those other things I mentioned because hydrogen can, you know, displace things that are harder to decarbonize, like trying to, you know, move big boats and big trucks and big planes around. So for that reason, we're really excited about being a part of the overall clean energy transition. And we're excited that hydrogen might be able to play a big role because it is a very, like I said, versatile fuel.
Well, I've been talking with Chris Green, president of the Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Alliance, and he's been helping us understand a complex subject. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
No problem. Thanks for your time, and I hope we can talk again soon. I appreciate your time this morning.
I'm Mike Green. The JX will be right back to talk about waterfalls and hiking trails.